Welcome to NARAL's The Morning After. Each Thursday, our podcast brings you the latest on reproductive health care, progressive politics, and the fight to keep abortion safe and legal. NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Pro-Choice OH. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Jamie.
Hi, I'm Gabe.
Started too early.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Oh my God, it's so amazing.
It is very, very cool.
The trailer for Rogue One, the brand new Star Wars movie, is out.
Yes.
I was thrilled to see it. My kids were thrilled to see it. You're thrilled to see
it. Yes, it was very awesome.
It looks amazing.
It does. But of course, you know, some people not so happy about it.
And I don't understand that at all.
It's girls, Gabe.
It's so, you know, so there was already a huge amount of discussion over episode 7,
mm-hmm.
The movie that came out last year, because the lead is a female. You've got Rey, this amazing
yes.
character who we have here in Lego form.
Lego being one of the few toy manufacturers that actually manufactured a toy with her face
right.
on it.
Right.
None of the action figures did. Nothing else.
She's the lead in the movie, and you couldn't find her toy on the shelves.
No.
And then there was all of this grumbling from guys, and they don't want to see a girl in the lead.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ghostbusters is coming out, and they're grumpy about Ghostbusters. And so now you've got Rogue One, the new movie, and the trailer is introducing this new character, Jyn.
Mm-hmm.
And she's having
looks even more kick-ass.
She totally does. And she's having this conversation with Mon Mothma, a character from Return of the Jedi, who's kind of this matriarch of the movement,
mm-hmm.
Of the rebellion. So this trailer automatically passes the Bechdel test because they were
yeah.
having a conversation, two women discussing something other than guys.
Woohoo!
So this should be great. And there are critics.
Yes. Always critics. Why do there have to be girls in the movie?
I
just like to look at girls. They're not supposed to talk. They're just supposed to be like superhero girls, scantily clad that occasionally kick ass, but are just really sidekicks rather than anything else.
I don't get that thinking at all.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Like, you know, and this is coming from kind of the fanboy base. And I think it's a minority in the fanboy base. Like,
yeah.
But these are guys that sit around and basically look at women on computers in various forms all day.
And probably not in human form very often. They're looking at it here, not actually
right,
in
right.
real life.
They're, you know, they're sitting around and they have no problem looking at pictures of women over and over and over again, you know, in
mm-hmm.
you know, in different costumes.
Yes.
But all of a sudden, you put her on screen and give her words to say, and that's they've got a problem with that.
Yes.
I don't get that
She's
thinking.
She's not an object anymore, so, but yeah.
If you love looking at women until they talk, that's like the definition of sexism.
Mm-hmm.
And so many guys think, oh, I love women.
Mm-hmm. No.
But are you complaining that, you know, there's a lead role in a Star Wars movie or in a Ghostbusters movie?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be kick-ass.
Yeah. Well, and you can no longer say that it's not going to gross money or it's not going to do anything. Because, I mean, you look at the two biggest kind of series movies that have come out recently.
Right.
And they're The Hunger Games and the Divergent series, both of which would star a young woman as the hero who kicks everybody's ass and saves the world.
Right.
And so, you know, as somebody who grew up without those kinds of people in the books that I read, it was really kind of fun to go back and read those books and see the movies and see these characters that I didn't grow up with. Then hopefully girls now are growing up with and
right.
can see that they can kick butt and they can take over and they can save the world. They just don't have to be the damsel in distress that needs to be rescued by the boy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this in no way looks like a damsel in distress.
No.
You know, there was criticism from the other side of it. They were referring to, the lead in last year's movie as being a Mary Jane, which honestly, I mean, I've heard the term Mary mm-hmm. Jane before, but I was unfamiliar with the concept of the flawless female who can do everything and
yeah.
is perfect in every way. And so, you know, okay, that criticism was valid because
mm-hmm.
the character in episode 7, Rey, she didn't appear to have anything wrong with her that we learned about.
Yeah.
Like, she might have difficulties down the road, but we didn't see it in that movie. This new character, this Jen character, I mean, she's kind of introduced as having some troubled youth. Yeah. The first time we see her, she's in handcuffs because of all of these rules that she's apparently uh-huh. broken, which then makes her great for the rebellion.
Yeah. the line, it's a rebellion, right?
Right. So, you know, it looks like they've got a three-dimensional character.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there was any criticism about the demographics of it, of course, it's, another you know, white. Basically another white woman.
Yes.
You know, we had Princess Leia, we had Rey, now we've got Jin. You know, there's some Asian American actors in there doing some pretty cool martial arts,
mm-hmm.
Probably an appeal to Chinese audiences.
Yes, probably.
You got Forrest Whitaker and this sort of wise old guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been Morgan Freeman, so, you know, we're not really breaking the mold
no.
there. In terms of, you know, portraying, it's, mm-hmm. it's a positive portrayal of a black, you
yes.
know, black character, but, it's nothing, you know, fun or groundbreaking.
Yeah.
not like Finn was, you know,
yes.
Finn was really great,
uh-huh.
but I think it looks good.
Yeah.
So anybody criticizing it, the trailer's been out a day.
Yeah. and yeah. it's, you know, a whole 45 seconds of a probably 2.5 hour movie. So,
right.
you know.
No, it looks good.
Keep your clothes on. Keep your
pants
on. Don't go crazy.
Okay.
Woohoo. So it's been a busy week.
Yes.
Other than watching movie trailers. We do things around here occasionally, too.
Yes.
When people come back from vacation eventually.
Yeah.
And I lied. I said we'd have a full compliment, and then I forgot that Randy was going to clip this weekend, so we don't have Randy here today.
Right.
Either.
What's clip again?
It's a Repro Justice Civil Liberties conference at Hampshire College. It's been happening for years. And I mean, it happened when I was in college, I feel like, so, or shortly thereafter. So it's been something that's been around for a very, very long time. So Annie is actually presenting something on her Jewish faith and reproductive justice. And it sounds like it'll be a great time.
Okay.
It's fun to see all my friends on Facebook there, but I'm
yeah.
not, I'm here. But so, on Monday, it was exciting. We met with folks at Planned Parenthood at the East Clinic that was vandalized a couple weeks ago with Mayor Ginther.
This is the East Columbus Planned Parenthood Abortion Clinic.
Yes.
So this is not your, like most Planned Parenthood facilities are, we mm-hmm. just refer to them as health centers because
yeah.
they do family planning health care. This was an abortion facility
yes.
that Mayor Ginther came to meet with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so he put out a statement after the vandalism, condemning the vandalism. We actually saw an arrest in the case about a week and a half ago now, maybe.
Okay.
Actually, a 70-year-old woman was charged with the vandalism. So we'll see how that case plays out. So, you know, our police responded to it very well, investigated it, and arrested somebody in pretty short order for these kinds of things. So,
right.
you know, we thank them for that, of course. And it was good to just be able to talk to him about what our clinics face on a daily basis. You know, so often, if you are not in this work every single day, you don't know how hard it is to sit through the protesters every single day, what the protesters do, the postcard campaigns that we've talked about on the show before
right.
against our doctors and those kinds of things. So it was good just to lay it all out. He's, you know, a very smart guy, very well informed. He's been working on infant mortality since he was on council. So he's very up on all the LARC stuff, the long acting reversible contraceptives like IUDs and the implant. So we talked a little bit about that and some novel things that they're actually doing in Cleveland that it'd be cool to do here in Columbus
yeah.
with like.
But you said that he came ready to talk about this.
Yes.
So it wasn't
oh, yeah.
just you guys educating him.
No,
you know.
he was there and he was ready to, you know, engage in a conversation, which was awesome.
That's something really impressive for an elected official.
Yeah.
A lot of times we sit down with politicians and even though they might be on our side, we really got to educate them a lot mm-hmm. of times on here's what these terms mean. These
yeah.
are what these medical terms are all about. These are why they're important. He came to the table
mm-hmm.
already educated about the importance of IUDs and mm-hmm. infant mortality. That's
well,
really
and it
great.
Really, and it really just shows a difference between a state official and a local official on a lot of these things. You know, Kasich talks about how he cares about infant mortality and he throws money at the issue, But here in Columbus, you know, we've got a already existing program called Celebrate One that Ginther was involved with getting started at when he was on council, and is still continuing on it. And actually this week they kind of announced the next step, I guess, the Step One program, which, you know, continues that prenatal care and infant mortality stuff so that we can really, really dive down on what's going on in our community and how we can fix it. You know, can we, you know, make sure, because like the first steps are always, you know, the tiny, simple ones that don't really necessarily direct the systems change we need, but can, you know, make immediate change, like babies on their backs in a crib with nothing but a, you know, fitted sheet and the
right.
tight fitting pajamas that they're in.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing else. No bumpers, no toys, no pillows, nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've gotten to the point where I was watching one HGTV show the other day and they had a crib full of pillows and I'm like, stop. It's like, I know it's just decoration, but pull them all out. That's
clearly some interior decorator, yes. Design student assistant who's never had a kid.
No.
And has no clue. Like,
it looked pretty.
Yeah, it looked like one of those hotel beds in the hotel where you walk in and you immediately go, no, I'm just going to have to throw all those on the floor.
Right.
So, you know, really taking a lot of these programs to the next level and looking at the systems changes. They actually had an article in the paper last week, a week before. They hired their first contingent of community educators. So pulling people from the community to talk to people in their own neighborhoods about infant mortality and how to have healthy babies. You know, and one of the women they profiled actually lost her baby. He was born and then passed away within like 2 or 3 days of being wow. born. So she was kind of using her experience to talk to other people in her community and help them, you know, be better and have healthier babies. So, you know, it's really cool. We're continuing to, you know, hopefully have great conversations with him. And it, and again, really shows the difference between what happens when you have policymakers who actually do care about women's health and access to abortion care versus what we see at the state level where they're just hellbent on reducing access to care.
Right. Yeah. So definitely a terrific meeting. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's in the first couple months of yep. his, it's a 4-year term, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's really great to have mm-hmm. an ally like that, in the mayor's office in Columbus. Mm-hmm. So that was
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. And we actually, you know, just got a really great new progressive voice on city council as well with, Elizabeth Brown.
Yeah.
Who just got elected on there as well. You know, kind of the model for, you know, a woman politician, you know, kind of putting it all on the line, you know, came into the race 8 months pregnant, had a baby like 2 weeks before election day or something like that. And,
right.
you know, is rolling straight into office, but it's in her genes. She's the daughter of Senator Sherrod Brown. So, you know, but we're really looking forward to doing some great things in Columbus.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. So going from good guys to bad guys.
Bad guys.
John Kasich gave his annual State of the State speech this past week. It was held down in Marietta. I know there were some Planned Parenthood supporters protesting yes. him outside the event, so way to go mm-hmm. To our friends there. Inside, he didn't discuss women's issues, choice issues, reproductive health care. It was a weird speech. You know, normally he does these rambling, unscripted. Mm-hmm. He talks for like 90 minutes when it was supposed to be 45. Uh-huh. This was very much scripted. You know, he knew that he had a national audience mm-hmm. kind of paying attention to what he said. It was weird. There was a lot of stuff about drugs, which he always does this weird thing where he's talking about. I've heard him literally say, just say no.
Yeah.
And
didn't we learn in the 90s from Nancy Reagan that doesn't work?
Yeah. And he hasn't progressed far from that.
No.
So he was still talking about
conversations.
Yeah. You know,
tell kids not to tell those darn young people not to do drugs.
Pretty much. You know, it's we can combat heroism if you talk to kids about their purpose. And
yeah, it's moral
like, dude,
duty. I yeah. saw one of the reporters say.
So. There was a lot of him talking about drugs, you know, him trying to paint as positive a picture about the state mm-hmm. of Ohio. There wasn't anything about his anti-choice agenda that, you know, he continues to not discuss, mm-hmm. But he's still the most extreme candidate running.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, mm-hmm. 17 anti-choice restrictions and funding cuts. So he's not talking about his horrible record.
No. Well, and it just really goes back to, I think, some of the stuff I've seen on Facebook recently with the whole, you know, Ted Cruz talks a good game about banning abortion, and Donald Trump talks about punishing women who have abortions, although he's rolled that back now. But Kasich actually does that. You know, he, right. You know, we can talk about not wanting to punish women. And he did immediately say, well, I don't want to punish women, but he punishes women every day when he signs those bills, you right. know, forcing them out of state, forcing them to wait longer into their pregnancy, all of those things punish women when they get, when they need access to abortion care. So
right.
everybody else talks about it. Kasich gets it done, which
yeah.
is bad, bad.
So Kasich, it was very,
he also gets it done while eating Italian food, right?
Yeah. So this was the weirdest thing ever. And as much as I don't like John Kasich and I don't like his policies, it was something else last night. So, me and my wife were watching MSNBC and they're going through, and yesterday was just a really weird political day. You had Bill Clinton that made these remarks,
stupid ass remarks.
Yeah. Just ill-advised is about as polite as I can put it. In the face of some protesters who were supporting the Black Lives mm-hmm. Matter movement. So you had Bill leading the news. You had this weird situation where Hillary and Bernie, each of their campaigns appeared to be saying that the other was unqualified, but really some words were taken out of context. So the whole thing just sort of looked messy. Mm-hmm. And then you had Donald Trump being, you know, his horrible Donald self. Trump. And then you had Ted Cruz being his horrible self.
Making matzah.
Yeah.
With Hasidic Jews.
That was weird. And so then they had a whole story on John Kasich went to the Bronx and ate everything. And so for this entire news story where everybody kind of looked bad in their own unique way. Uh-huh. It was just the weirdest thing to see, you know, and here's Ohio Governor John Kasich, and he loves spaghetti. He ate two plates of spaghetti, some giant sandwich, a bowl of pasta fagioli, mm-hmm. whatever that is, a couple glasses of wine with the deli owner. He ordered a cannoli to go. I mean, they had
Have they not fed him in days? Like,
it was just him eating and eating and eating, and it was the weirdest thing.
Well, he needed to do something, so they stopped talking about how he ate pizza with a fork.
Yeah, they did, and he made up for that. He ate everything properly. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't any spaghetti with fingers or anything.
Yeah, or cutting it. God forbid you would cut spaghetti on.
But, I mean, he ate everything, and I guess they, like, thought he was done with one plate and tried to take it away, and he, like, got at him with a fork and was like, no, I'm not done with that. And just ate everything. And, you know, it was just this negative news cycle and then just goofy John Kasich eating food. I was like, well, you know what? He came across as the best of anybody.
Well, that's kind of his role in the campaign, too. He's just that goofy third guy who really shouldn't be in the campaign anymore. So he's just kind of out there doing shit because he's still there, which is fine because we don't need him back in Ohio. Right. He just comes here and does bad things. So, you know, he can stay out there for as long as he wants. But yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Donald Trump is racist and Ted Cruz is offensive and John Kasich loves sandwiches. It was just so weird.
Oh, man. Gotta love our governor. Right?
Yeah. So then there was also a good look published by Rolling Stone at what's been going on. To go back to the serious side of John Kasich, Alex Morris in Rolling Stone published an article looking. She visited during the defunding battle. Mm-hmm. She was here for the final House vote. And so was reporting. She also spoke to Sheva Guy, mm-hmm. You know, who we've heard from before.
Yeah.
And really painted an interesting picture of what's happening in Ohio and what this means for women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was, you know, again, a really good look at everything and, you know, interviewed Stephanie Knight,
Kite. Yes. The former CEO
of Planned Parenthood Greater Ohio, and you know, really just really looked at what the real impact of all these bills are. I mean, at the beginning of Kasich's term, when he was actually looking at like the second of the 17 things he's passed, right. We actually have a woman who did some videotape testimony, actually came to a press conference finally, but had done some videotape testimony on how she had had a fatal fetal diagnosis in Ohio that was actually risking her life, and the hospital still even said, no, we can't do anything.
Right.
And so she came, and that was before all these things had passed. So she had come forward and talked about how scary it was. And when I went to videotape her testimony, I was leaving, and she's like, you know what? With all the complications I've had, I mean, she had a baby at 26 weeks and then had this diagnosis. She's had one since, but, you know, all of her pregnancies have been kind of complicated in various ways. You know, she said to me as I walked out the door, and it really has stuck with me through this whole thing, that I would be scared to get pregnant in Ohio right now.
Yeah.
Because if something did happen, I wouldn't be able to get the care that I need. And that then the kind of the Rolling Stone article kind of, you know, went into that with the personal story of the reporter and all those things. It really did talk about how, you know, even a woman who wants to be pregnant in Ohio and, you know, is happy about it and, you know, is going forward is impacted by what John Kasich has done in our state.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The reporter sort of opened up her article by explaining to the readers that when she came to Ohio, she knew that she was pregnant, but had, you know, cause for concern. And in fact, after returning to New York from Ohio, did indeed have a miscarriage a few days later. So the entire thing had a very personal angle for her, looking at how we're treating women's health care here in Ohio and going through her own unique situation there. So it's definitely worth a read. I believe we put the article up on our Facebook page. So check that out.
So. Cool. So, you know, spring break's over, the primary's done. So guess what happens now? The legislature comes back. Yay. So Kasich may not be in town, but all of his buddies in the Ohio House and Senate are. So next week they come back, which is why we have Advocacy Day on Wednesday. You can still register. There are some spots left at bit.ly/prochoice2016. And come out and talk about how all these attacks on abortion access are bad and why we need to support good policies. Like one we actually didn't talk about, Rep. Boyd and Rep. Coons introduced this week a paid family leave bill in Ohio.
Yes, that's terrific.
So, you know, there's lots of fabulous things going on that, of course, aren't going anywhere because they're introduced by Democrats.
Everybody, you know, in the legislature needs to hear support for those.
Exactly. So we're going to go and talk about how bad the abortion bans are and how good some of these other policies are. So please join us Wednesday, April 13th for Advocacy Day, bit.ly/prochoice2016.
Yes. And that's a terrific event if you can be here in person. If you can't, we are starting to recruit folks to become more active with their local media, writing letters to the editor, to your local newspapers, maybe calling into talk radio. So we want to hear from you if you're interested in raising your voice from the comfort of your own home. You can email me at communications@prochoiceohio.org. We'll start to roll out that program here in the next month or two to get you for more information. communications@prochoiceohio.org.
Cool.
Okie doke. So we'll see everybody next week.
Bye.
Bye.